This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. An Indigenous Writers Circle is taking in applications for its next round of young writers to be mentored. And I caught up with local Cartesian writer, Odette Auger, whom was involved with the program this past year, and learned more about the program. We spoke about a year ago about the award that you got.
Yes, CAJ, Association of Journalists, and it was the Mindset Award category. So,
when did you get your start writing?
Well, I think I call myself a storyteller first and foremost, and that is the skill that I bring into the reporting or into the journalism. And so I think that was always there. Like, I remember even being in art school and like being in a crit and my instructor saying, oh, you should just go to film school. You should just go to film school. You're always trying to tell stories with your paintings. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And so I did film school too. I think there was always the seed of storytelling was what I found interesting in whatever I did. Whether that was even here on the island doing Literacy Now after school programming. It's about the storytelling and helping kids find what's beautiful about reading by the storytelling. So I think similarly, the storytelling was always there. And I had the writing thing, but it was never encouraged. I think my parents didn't think it was like a viable thing. What would you do with that?
But wait, you went to art school?
Yeah. I freed myself. I was the apple that fell far from the tree, very far from the tree. Yeah, so I did end up doing the art school thing and film school and experimented with all those things. But I think that it just wasn't fed. And at the same time, there's a lot of classism and racism in places I lived, Saskatchewan. And so you could get 100% in your class and not win the award. And like a friend of mine might win the award and her family was not Indigenous. So there were things that I didn't clue into entirely. You have to be a little older and maybe removed from some situations before all those pieces come together. And that was also just how my mom would raise us. If we rise above it, we don't have to deal with it. And it's not actually true. Like, you do have to see color to admire color and to celebrate color and to also be an ally to things that need to be addressed and different hurdles for people. So, yeah, it's for better or worse, storytelling sat in a back burner. I would say unnourished, but it came up when I saw reporting made me more comfortable because people would say, oh, I really love the storytelling and that. It made me question some of their beliefs. And I think that's, as a tool as a journalist, storytelling brings people deeper into the story. It makes them reflect on things, maybe let go of some of their assumptions or their biases and look at facts. And it's also a more interesting way to present facts. And so I think like a good narrative lead can pull people really deep into the heart of a story and care. And with that, I flexed my writing muscle a little bit. So I think when I saw the Audible Indigenous Writers Circle, it was everywhere in my feed anyway, it was like, should I? Should I not? You know, it was, and then also being raised up with Ojibwe teachings around humility, I would never be the first person to put my hand up. I know the answer in class. Like, it just wasn't my style. And so they're part of that personality, but also conditioning. My mom spent her early childhood in residential schools. And it was definitely that holding back and certain quiet. And do I put myself out there? Who am I? Am I a writer with a capital W? It's like artist with a capital A thing, which I believe we all are, but that's not necessarily how we're conditioned through schooling, right? There's that kid's the math kid, that kid's the artist. And then too bad about the other ones in the class. If one's being lifted up and the others aren't, right? So I really think it was just there, like a hesitancy. And I just thought, just let the writing. I just decided I will just send my 2,000 word piece in and see what happens. Like it's, and then it's not about ego or self-doubt. Like humility can very easily become self-doubt in my reality. So I just sent it off and it was accepted. And even better than that, the feedback from Audible was, all the judges, all the mentors read your piece and it really deeply resonated with all of them. So we'd love to have you join us. I had 6 months of one-on-one mentorship and also workshops with the other mentors. So we're paired with a mentor. Mine was Angela Stewart, who's a CBC journalist. So there's obvious reasons why we're connected, but also her book, Unbroken, it's finally going to be, I'm pre-ordered, it's finally going to come to me. But it was a little bit of a waiting period there as it was the publishing process. but it's a story, it's her story. And so she's a reporter first and foremost, but it's her sharing her story. And so it's biography completely merged with her investigative writing about murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls. I can't wait to read it, but she was my mentor. So she brought much more of a systematic and organized approach to my structuring of my novel, because normally I didn't write like that. It was much more intuitive and like an image or a scene unfolds in my head, and I just see my job as to write it down so that you can also see it and feel it the way I am visualizing it. And so she just helped me with another approach. I think I have a more balanced approach now in my novel.
This was a national writers group. Is that right?
It doesn't include Quebec, and that's just because there's certain provincial contest rules relating to Quebec from their end. So, but everywhere else.
Okay. And you connected then online or over the phone. What kind of correspondence tools were used for this program?
It could be whatever you and the mentor chose. So there are 8 mentors and 24 writers participating. And so for me, Angela lives in Vancouver. I'm on a Cortez. So we did some Zoom. We did some phone calls. We met in person once when I happened to be there for a concert. It could be just whatever. And it could even be just on Messenger. Hey, take a look at what I did with the next 5 pages. I'm not sure if it's in the right spot or is it diversionary or distraction. And so she would jump in. She's busy. She has a work life. She's also a journalist. Yeah, but we made it happen. And just that, I think that was part of what felt good too, is there's someone interested in my writing. And all the writers had that with their mentors. There's someone interested in your writing. They're genuinely listening to your story. And you can jump in and chat with them about it whenever. But formally, we had one a month. So once a month, one-on-one for 6 months. And then also group workshops where we got to tap into the other mentors and also other peers. And that's a big part of the learning too. Zoom, because people were from the north, the Northern Territories, all across Canada. And we had guest speakers come in, like Dene writer Katlia Lafferty. She'd come in and share her journey, like her path. And others were more about, this is how you polish it to get an agent. And this is the final finessing towards submitting to publishers. So it was we were all at very different stages of our writing. And for me, it was just a seed of a story that I developed through those 6 months. And for other people, they pretty much had their manuscript and they needed and wanted support in the publishing process. And so it could be for anybody, any story at any stage, as long as they're Indigenous, First Nations, Métis, or Inuit.
So it sounds like you started the novel when you started the mentorship?
Just before. It was actually, we were camping, it was September, and we were camping at Bear Point Park. Do you know where that is? It's on Swantula. And it's this cool, really rustic provincial campground. And it's right on the beach where the whales come and rub themselves on the rocks. And so it's really powerful wave action there. You know how the sand dunes change overnight? There, the rock dunes change overnight. Because so it's a constant swooshing sound, like you had pearls in your hands, is what it's the only thing that's what I came up with when I was in there. It sounds like you're juggling and swooshing around a handful of pearls, and all night long. So I couldn't sleep. Everyone else was zonked out, and I wish I had my art supplies. I was like, I'm not working, I'm offline. This is a perfect time. I could be painting. When am I ever gonna paint? All these things keeping me awake at night. And then I thought, hey, I can just write. I can finally write some of my story. And so it was always germinating, and bits and parts of it would come out either in paintings or other projects, but it had never been really written down. And so that was my first 2,000 words. I just sat there and wrote it out while the sun was coming up, because the pounding waves were just so loud. So that was the birth of the novel. And then it just sat there on my laptop and more like a wish. Yeah, I'll continue with that at some point. And I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm very busy, a lot of work. I'm a mother of 3. There's a lot of things going on. So it didn't call to my attention. And I think that was also still part of that self-doubt / humility / conditioned quiet. It was just there holding me back a little on continuing that seed, feeding that seed. And so Audible was the thing, it really was. It really was a beautiful moment to carve out space for me to continue my writing. People want to read my writing, or they think I should continue. like, I should really continue this as an opportunity to have people who are not my friends or family. Like, they're not obliged to like it. They're going to tell me what it needs. And yeah, it was really a beautiful process. And Richard Van Camp is, I would say he really holds the group down. He's so enthusiastic and he's just really encouraging and he has a lot of faith. The world needs your stories. He would tell other people, and it was just really beautiful to see people sharing. And just different things would come up, like maybe I would have a question. I don't know, this is bordering into biography for this. I have fictionalized it, but at what point are you between genres? Those type of questions. And it was the other writers who had the answers for me. They would say, I found it much easier to do this. You know, and you can absolutely fictionalize your biography, but you might want to question your intention. Who are you protecting in doing that? Those types of things really matter. And so it just helped me get very clear about what my intention and purpose was for the story. And yeah, I would jump into it again, like absolutely, if I could. And so I recommend anybody who has even just the wish to write, like maybe they've been told, oh, you're a good writer, you could write. You know, or maybe they just love reading and start to feel like, I know the ending of the book by the end of the second chapter. Like they already have it so in them, like to process a story and develop it. Or maybe they've just flirted with the idea and journal all the time. And so I think they should absolutely apply. And it's open applications until April 14th. And then it won't launch until summer. And then it'll run to the end of the year.
Beautiful. What was the age range of young writers that were in the program?
I think it's for anyone over 18. And then in our peer group, I wasn't the oldest, and I'm not young, I'm 50. I think there's a really wide span. Like there are people who were in their early 20s, and the chapters have already passed of maybe doing this type of work, maybe doing this, a little of this, and then now we're having time for our writing. Yeah, I felt like we just like to learn from each other too. So I think whenever you have an opportunity to reach out and receive feedback, that's my go-to. I'm always going to take that opportunity. And so this is just like a bigger opportunity for more writers to do that.
You mentioned that people were from all over the place, including the North. Generally, were people writers from more rural places or more urban places, or was it a mixture?
I would say it must have been a mixture.
It sounds like a really appealing program for people that might not have that type of access that you would in an urban environment.
Yeah, I think that is really interesting because even if you're not geographically remote, maybe you haven't gone to college, maybe you're not sure if you even want to go to college, there's other ways to access those resources and that input. And I think that really fills a gap.
Where did you go to art school?
I was actually at York University doing visual arts there. That's in Toronto. And then that was where my instructor said, oh, you should go to art school. And then another prof said, oh, you're always trying to sell stories. Like, you should just do film school. And so I moved to Vancouver. And so I did both. I was at Emily Carr in the day. And then at night, I went to film school, just took a couple classes in cinematography and script writing. I'm just going to go take some night classes at Vancouver Film School. And so it was a really creative time. Like, I saw everything as a potential screenplay, or everything was a potential painting I could have been writing, because it was the stories that I wanted to be telling. But, you know, you go through different experiences and learn what you want to share too.
So you found a lot of benefit in your experience with the peers of this writer's circle, the other young writers. Was there any sense of, were you intimidated by any of these people or any of your mentors?
No, that was what was really special about it. We were all Indigenous, and there was not even a single moment where it felt competitive. Like within myself or observing or hearing anybody, nothing felt like it was coming from a place of ego or competition, even though realistically, I guess we are all aiming for the same thing. And, but it never ever once felt like that. And I think that was maybe just how this circle was designed, with mentors who, we don't all have the same Indigenous perspective. It's a wide range of perspectives and lived experiences, but there's still enough shared lived experiences that it's like the shortcut. When you connect with someone and you have a great conversation, and it's 2 a.m. before you get into the nitty-gritty conversation, right? And then other people, you get there much quicker, right? And so it was like that moment, like
I don't have to explain in a long-winded way why this matters to me. Everybody knows. It's shorthand. It's speaking shorthand in a way in that setting. And I think that also applied to our writing. There was like the sense that you could cut to the chase in that we all know what that hurdle feels like, or we all struggle with that sometimes. So here's how we got ourselves out of it. Or it could be even technically, like for me, I have in my story, I'm shifting from a young adult, a child's perspective to young adult's perspective to adult's perspective. And that can be really tricky. And if you think of some of Eden Robinson's writing, there are parts where it is a challenging read in the sense that the time is changing so fluidly. And so I found myself organically doing that and then pulling back and questioning, is that the easiest, most accessible way for people to get this? Or once we brainstormed it with a couple writers during a workshop, and then it spilled over into our Facebook chats. And most people found like you could do that. It is a little easier to do it chapter by chapter than paragraph by paragraph, drifting in and out of time. And so I settled on a chapter by chapter or section by section, moving from one period of time to another or one location to another. Although if you didn't do that, you would be in pure poetry, right? So you see my difficulty there.
Sounds like a very nourishing environment to develop your style. And
the mentors themselves are very diverse too. So in our group, we had Renata Arluc, and she writes plays. She's a playwright. She does many other things. January Rogers is a Mohawk Tuscarora poet. And so there's just a wide range of genres and writers, and some of them are very multidisciplinary in their own creative lives. So we could tap into all of that and do some genre busting too. Does it necessarily have to be that way? But this year they have a totally different batch. Some of them are continuing, like Richard Van Camp, Angela Sterrett, January Rogers, but Jessica Johns is one of the mentors this year. And I just finished her book, Bad Cree. It's amazing. And that one is very liminal spaces are inhabited, and dreams enter reality and reality enters dreams in a really incredible way. And so she's one of the mentors that will be working with these writers. And so I'm just like, they're going to have so much fun. Again, trying to asking, how can we do different things? And what is your process? And how did she write that?
The Audible Indigenous Writers Circle is open for applications for the 2023 program. If you're interested in applying, you can go to www.audible.ca/EP/IWC.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.